The pace variant number that's on the part-time chart, that is the number you get from the variant program that's associated with most of these computers. Using the 100 is universal. That's the reason we're working with 100. In a route, it's 54.05. And the sprint is 56.26. The difference between the two of them, just very simply, is the sprint to route.
It's a long day. Any other questions, Bob?
I'm still working on an elegant pearl. That final time, did you say that was 111?
That wound up with the 111.
Well, it has a variant of 15 for that day, and the range is 11 to 13. So
This is not a sprint. And since you don't have the sprint variant, the variant for that day is 15. The range of 0 is 16 to 18. And that range of 0 kind of indicates how fast or slow the track was. And based on that, you figured that the track was about 1 fast that day. Right? You can't use the sprint variant there because you're looking at routes. Remember now, the racing form does not do what it used to do. It separates the sprint and the route variant. Remember, at one time, they just took all the dirt races, averaged them, and you had a single variant for that. Doesn't work that way anymore. You have sprint variant and a route variant, which is why you have different ranges now. So you don't want to work, you don't want to look at a route and assume it to be the sprint variant, because you'll really go wrong. Yeah. See, the way you'd be doing it, you'd be giving this horse a couple of lengths benefit. That's the wrong way to go here. Everybody understand how that variant is made, right? It's based on the best time in the last 3 years for that distance. And it segregates sprints and routes into separate variants for the day. Yes.
Now, about the daily variant, do you get a bunch of them in a row to sort of get an average? A bunch of days in a row to get an average?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if you want to go to... There's one last item on the handout. It says truing up the variant. Okay. I'll cover that. I wasn't sure I was going to, but I will. If you want to do a little extra work, it only takes you a couple of minutes a day, 2 minutes a day. If I were you, I'd look at the bottom of the charts. Take, for example, the Saturday chart, the back page of the Saturday racing form. Now, after the ninth race, which is actually on the opposite page, after the ninth race, at the very bottom right-hand column of that page, it says track variant for races 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is 11. See that? Okay, that's May 17th, 5-17. See where it says 11? Okay. Now, it's in no particular order. In other words, one day the route may be first and the sprint is second. And the reason for that is, whatever the first race of the day was, they'll take all of those races and give the variant. If the first race of the day had been a sprint, that's a sprint variant. So you've got to look back and see what was the first race that day. It was a sprint. So the sprint variant for that day, according to the racing form, is 11. The route variant for that day is it 20?
Yeah.
Route variant is 20. No, you know that's not right, but that's the reason we're going to go through this little procedure. Now we look at another day, May 18th. That's Friday, I guess. Suppose that on Friday you get a 12 here, 17 here. On the 19th, you get a 13 here and a 16 here. On the 20th, you get a 12 here and you get a 17 here. On the 21st, you get a 9 here and a 16 there. Now, you record this in a notebook, right? You've got two exceptions in here. You've got a steady progression of 11, 7, 12, 13, 12, all within that 11 to 13 range. Then you've got a 9. Is the track that fast that day as the 9, or is it a result of a single race or maybe one or two very fast races in that particular day? And the way you get around that is look at the 16. 16, 17, 16, 17, which suggests that during this period of 4 days right here, the track remained very constant. So what I would do is take this and call it an 11 or 12, get it back up into that 11 to 13 range so you're making no adjustments. You follow that logic? The track really didn't change, did it? You probably had one sprint, or maybe two, that happened to be run very fast, and it knocked the hell out of the variant. But the track was the same that day. And based on the fact that the routes were consistent through this period of 4 days, that this is probably consistent also, and make it a 12, so that you don't over-adjust the horses that were coming off that day. So you trued that up a little. You set that in a little order. This is also in the book. By the book. Now let's take a look at this five-day period, right? The five-day period is 11, 12, 13, 12, 12, now that you made the adjustment. The 5 days are consistent in terms of the track variant. The 11 to 13 zero range is intact. So let's take a look at this 20. On five successive days, this was even. On one day, because there was a single race, this was 20, but the rest are 17, 16, 17, 16, I would strike this and call it a 16. Now, the racing form variant that you would get raw against these pace lines, as you look at it, will say, any horse chosen from this day in a sprint gets a 9. Well, if that's all the data you've got, you adjust it for a 9. But if you go to just a little extra work in here, in a notebook, you'll know that it wasn't really a 9, it should have been a 12, roughly in that area, not to adjust it. And so you kind of true up that whole database. Easy to do. All you do is look in the back of the charts each day. We got a little bit of time. Do you want to fool around a little more here with one of these races? Seventh where? Seventh at Golden Gate. 3, 6, 9. This is a. Do you have 5 scratches? We'll never get through this. All right, we will though. We'll do the seventh at Golden Gate. I would like a smaller race though. Okay. What? Okay, page 48, we'll look at Golden Gate. It should all apply. What we're going to do is, first of all, we'll go through and apply our contender guidelines, choose a pace line. We have the adjustment criteria. What was the Golden Gate? 12 to 14, wasn't it? All right, so we can do all of those things. Starting in the rear, we have Aaron's Dewan. What do you think? It's dropping in class. Is it positive or negative? Okay. Is it positive or negative? Ignore the last race for a moment. Look at the race before and tell me if it's positive or negative. What did it do on a drop off of a race that it almost won? In its last race, was it a negative dropper? Was it? In its last race, was it a negative or a positive? On April 20th, it came within 3/4 of a length for winning in a $20,000 race. 3/4 of a length now, 7 feet. They dropped it off of that race. A negative. And did it improve on the drop?
No.
Had some trouble, but it did not improve on the drop. Anything else? Now it drops from 16 to 12.5. So it's gone from 25 to 18 in a $20,000 race to 16 to 12.5 over a series of 4 races. And in its last race, on the negative drop, did not improve. If it can come within 3/4 of a length at 20, it should win easily at 16, or should certainly win. It's a negative drop. Its last race looks like it needs a drop today. But consider everything else. Okay, so the race before is what really makes this negative here. Aaron's Dewan is out. Ryford's Fan, on May 6th, it wins 10, coming from well out of it. Now, I do not have a profile for that racetrack, so we can't really evaluate it on that basis. It wins by a length. It got to the lead by the stretch call, which is positive, especially when you're betting a closer. If you can get to the lead that soon, the closer is more attractive. Is that a contender? Certainly. What pace line? No reason not to use the last one, right? Horse is usually out of it, or has been the last couple of races. Let's adjust that line right now while we're working with it. It's a 15. The adjustment range was what, 12 to 14? What does this require? Well, for all the blank faces that were here before lunch, I sure have a lot of right answers now. So it does get easier as you work with it. So one length adjustment to the final time, right? So what's the final time on that race? 110 and 1, and the fractions are not to be shuffled. Okay, a contender, we have a pace line, and we have an adjustment for it. What about, who would like to pronounce this one? Music? All right, now let's look at this horse for a minute. Did I go the wrong way with that? My apologies. Got in a hurry. 109 and 4. Go the other way with that line adjustment. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, you knew that. You did. I went the wrong way with it. I went the wrong way with it. Now, what about this next horse? Horse has been without a race for 29 days. What about the workout line? It's good, isn't it? A work on April 29th, one on May 6th, one on May 13th. They were all 3 5 furlong works, so the horse is still fit. Let's look at its last race. It's dropping from 20 to 12.5. What do you think of that drop? It's positive, isn't it? Because a drop from 20 to 16 based on that race probably wouldn't be enough for it to win, would it? The race before that, it was in a non-winners of one. And if you remember, when we talked about where the non-winners of ones fit at Golden Gate on the part-time chart, they fit at 20. So the only real drop last time was the fact that it was in a claiming race as opposed to the non-winners of one. So the horse actually improved a bit at about the same par level. Now it drops to 12.5. That's a positive drop here. And the variant on that is 11, right? What was the adjustment range, 12 to 14? That's a one length, right? You have to bring it up from an 11 into the 12-14 range, which is one length. And this time I will go the right way on that. We're going to slow this race down by one and make it a 109 and 3 it comes out of, right? Now, virtually every program you're going to run is going to put Lyford Stand on top of this horse, but that's a different issue. Mama's Birthday. This is a tough call here. Mama's Birthday. The drop, first of all. It should drop, right? It drops from a non-winner's one, which is about a $20,000 race at Golden Gate, to what, 12.5? So it's not as big as it would be here at Santa Anita. Okay. But what about the last line? Yeah, but what about the last line in terms of our up-close criteria? Doesn't fit at any call, does it? Two. Just two. At Santa Anita, he'd be dropping four. At Golden Gate, he's dropping two. Sure it does. Sure it does. Because basically what you're doing is measuring current form. See, if he's only dropping two levels, you should have shown something at the higher level if it's only two above. Okay? Look at it that way. Now look at the...
Okay.
Let's go through... Is anybody doing a pro and con here? Look at all the races preceding that race at Maiden 12.5. Of all of those races, which race do you suppose you'd want to use today? If you use the second race back, it's by far, of the 10 races you have a choice of, it's by far the best of the 10, first of all. It's against Maiden 12.5s, of which there is nothing running in California without going to Sacramento or Fresno that is any weaker than that level. Nothing. And the difference between a Maiden 12.5 and a straight 12.5 for older horses, is this older horse? Yeah, these are older horses, is enormous. It's not just, it wouldn't be like going from a Maiden 32 to a race for $32,000 3-year-old, because that's not that much of a change. This is a major class change, the one he's in today. And look at the win. What date was the win? April what? When's the next race? Doesn't that raise any eyebrows? Here's a horse that wins for six, and it's 30 days before they can put the horse back in a race. Okay, a lot of negatives here. If you decide to accept this horse, just be careful that when you do that, you'll probably go down and take the second race for the horse. And yet, that's in 10 races, 90% probable that he won't run that race. Be careful with him. I wouldn't use him. Doesn't mean he won't win. because he gets a switch to the leading rider up there, and that's going to bring some money. In fact, let's take a quick look at the consensus. You can usually guess it here, but since you don't play up there, he's about fifth in the graded handicap, and he's not in the consensus. Okay, that makes sense. What about Moshka Dancer? He's dropping. It's probably necessary that he drop, isn't it? He's been making a habit of dropping, isn't he? Does he meet any of the criteria last time? Let me ask you, does he meet any of the criteria for a contender here? Yes or no? Be decisive here. How many say no? How many say yes? The answer is no. And the reason the answer is no is that if today's race is a rout, he was up close at the stretch call in that mile, wasn't he? Today's race is a sprint. Now you've got to deal with the first two calls of his last race, and was he within three lengths of any of that period? He wasn't, was he? So what do you think? Does he meet the up-close criteria here? No. You won't get in too much trouble with these guidelines, and I've talked to a number of you that have volunteered their experiences since we met last time and found that they were throwing out very few horses based on this. And sometimes you throw out horses that are heavily, heavily bet. And this is one of the consensus horses here. Yes?
Are you saying that on the up close, you're basing it on the base race, not on the base
race? Well, the distance that they're running today, yeah.
You know, if this is a sprint, today's race is a sprint, we're looking at a route pace line, but we're looking for the 3.5.
The first two calls. Yeah.
For one thing, the stretch call that he was up close last time, the race will be over by a full furlong before they ever hit that today anyway. So he won't have a chance to get close. Not unless they'll take money up based on who's going to be in front after they make the turn at the end of the race. So, yes, that's what you want to do. Mr. Don, is this a contender? Okay. How long has he been since his last race? 27 days. What about his workouts? He's working all right. Okay, so it's a long time between races, but he's working okay. And there's a positive here, and that is they steps him up in class when he doesn't have to at this point. Okay, so that's good. And his last line is his last race. What's the adjustment? It's a 9 variant. And what's the adjustment range here? 12 to 14? So a 9 is 3 points, or 2 lengths. Okay, so that makes that line 109 and 4, right? Now what do you want to do with the second call? Use half of that, 50% of that, 44-1, and leave the first fraction alone. 21-2. See, it's kind of easy when you're doing it, isn't it? Once you get the hang of it, it is easy. The harder part is evaluating these class changes and these contenders. It is. What about Leveroo now? There's nothing wrong with this drop, is there? The race before that, he only got beat a length at 16. He was in for 14, but it was a $16,000 race. But yet, he was still 2 lengths back at the 8th pole, so he really didn't threaten to beat the field. So it's not a serious negative because he's only dropping $2,000 or $1,500 in claiming price. His last race indicated that he's just not going to get there against $16,000 horses, so probably 12.5s are well within where he belongs. So Leveroo, is there any reason to use any other than the last pace line? No, because you don't want to use the $8,000 line 3 back, because that was a field he apparently dominated, so you want to at least be within the close class parameters. Use his last race. It's a track variant of 10. The adjustment range was 12 to 14. That's 2 variant points or 1 length. So the line then is 110 flat, and no adjustments to the other calls. No problems, right? What about Hey Robin? It looks like maybe Jerry Dutton made a bad claim here, doesn't it? 2 races back, he was running 10th at the first fraction and did get up within a length, but then in his next start at 16, he showed nothing. All he did was lug out. That's not a positive sign. So the horse meets none of the criteria. What about Windward Lane? Sure. Now, I don't know how Closer's doing up there. I mean, he's off 21 days with no work, so I mean, that you don't like to see that, but I wouldn't bet against him for that reason. Do Closer's do well up there? I haven't been following. Have to be pretty close up. Okay, as far as his line is concerned, there's no adjustment. The adjustment range is 12 to 14, right? Okay, so he stands on his on that pace line. What about Angel J? Sure. What about the pace line? Comes out of a race we've already dealt with. The Leveroux comes out of the same race. So the line on Angel J is 21.3, 44.2, 110 flat, right? What about Hawaii High? This is poison. This is poison. That first of all, it's not a sprinter. And that long layoff and that class drop coupled with it is horrible. You're paying attention, huh? Let's see his workout pattern. I didn't even go that far. That's not bad, but yeah, there's a little gap. There's 15 days in there. You'd like to see it a lot closer pattern when you're bringing a horse back from that long. That's just not a good contender here. I mean, obviously, they're willing to give the horse away now, where before you could get it from... If you bought this horse in December, it would cost you $40,000, wouldn't it? Yeah. Now you can buy it for $12,500. It's not a good bargain. What? After feeding him all that time, yes. So they just would... I'm sure they're just going to take their best shot. What? That's right. But the random turf race is down to like 20,000 up there. So it's not the same as down here. And he's got a dirt race three races back and an overnight handicap against Second Legend and Valleyland, who's probably the best sprinter up there. So he's in that race. So the bottom has fallen out of him. What about Vote? He's a contender, isn't he? Off the line. Just the line now. Off that last line, he is a contender. Now, he's been off for how long? 35 days. So, which means that you better look at the workout line on this horse, because the last line isn't nearly as important as it is the horse is running in the last couple of weeks. Look at the workout line. From April 14th to May 4th, the horse is inactive. Okay? That's enough for me to disqualify the horse. Now let's look at the. If you accepted the horse and used his pace line, it would be a 15, which would require a one length adjustment back to 14. And then this time I'll go the right direction with it. If you were to accept him, you'd make that line a 110 flat. That's if you would take the horse. And if you use that line, that's the rest of the drill. But I wouldn't accept this horse. That gap in there would really disturb me. Okay, it'd be kind of interesting now if you have access to Golden Gate races to run this. We have all of the data now. So when you get home, run this race through the computer and let me know how it comes out. It's about 5 o'clock. Let me tell you, next time we get together, keep the profiles up to date, because next time we'll handicap virtually the whole card. Might talk a little bit more about these figures that we were talking about earlier, off the part-time chart, but not a whole lot of time, because I think we covered a lot of that, but we might take another short look at variance. Are there any other questions about what we did today? None at all. Good, you're questioned out. All right, next time we get together, we'll handicap basically the whole card.
Good morning. So we begin our third Sunday of this exhausting experience, and with many good reports, including my own. I had the pleasure of going to the track a week ago with Bill Burns, and Wayne Fulkerson, who's down here from Seattle, who spent spending 5 weeks just to sit at the elbow of Don Brohammer. At his own expense. Great expense, yeah. He started just touching the hem of his trousers, and now he's all the way up to the elbow. And we had a wonderful week. They were eliminating non-contenders with the many bits of wisdom that Tom has shared with you. And we had a tremendous time. Had some 25, 18, and higher priced horses and made a lot of money. And by using the things that Tom has talked about in the previous two sessions, we were able to eliminate a lot of winners. I mean, a lot of contenders that didn't belong in the race. We didn't eliminate any winners. But we eliminated non-horses. Had we put them in, which we did originally, just to see what they would have done to our program, they cluttered it up. And they left it caused us, we would not have had the winner had we left those horses in, because they had some inordinately strong fraction, which they wouldn't run today because of the very class deficiencies that Tom was talking about and the suspicious class drops. Those were the two biggest assets that we gained from the first two sessions. Listening on tape, and those of you in the room should always remember that we're talking about a period of time between May the 4th and June the 3rd at Hollywood Park, a specific track at a specific date. Generations yet unborn will be listening to these tapes by Tom Brohammer as his fame grows through the writing of books and things. So it's very emphatic. We must remind you that if we say that the pressers are winning between this period and it suddenly turns early, don't do as some of our clients in the past have done and say, but early is winning. And Brohammer said it was presser. Howard said it was presser. Well, that's now. Another thing, especially for people on tape, and is that when Tom talked for 2 weeks about the rail being dead on the dirt, he was talking about a specific period of time. Don't get the conclusion that the rail is going to be dead forever at Hollywood Park and avoid it. Remember, you have to keep your own reality, and your profile will help you. Okay, the man who's brought us this far, we want to review what happened yesterday. He's too modest to do it himself. We did six races. Tom put a caveat on two of them, the first and the ninth, he wouldn't play. The ninth just looked too good, too suspiciously good. He wouldn't play that race. He wouldn't play the first race. So if you take the four races that he recommended we play, he lost one. 1-3, he lost by a photo, and one that came in second. But he also recommended that one not play the one that lost by a photo and came in second, because it was 8-5. Our suggestion has been since this methodology began that when horses get down below 9-5, you concentrate on playing them all to place. Put your money on them to place, or key them as the horse that can do no worse than place and exact it. So if you want to understand that he made that recommendation, then we really had only one loss out of all the races he did yesterday that he recommended a play in, as he calls it. I would say a work in, but anyway, he did very, very well under the great pressure of having a room of 55 people daring him to succeed, and he succeeded. And he's still alive to tell a tale. Here is our honored speaker and your host for the rest of the day, Thomas Brohammer.